Welcome to the Crossroad International Church podcast. We're so glad you joined us. It is our prayer that God will use this message to bring comfort to those who are hurting, give hope to those who find themselves in what seems to be a hopeless situation, and to encourage the one who is struggling through a difficult season of life. For more sermon audio, resources, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit cickuwait.com. We'd love to hear from you.
What you've already done through this service and during this service, Lord. Now, as I just bring your word and just a message, Lord, I believe that you've laid on my heart for us today. God, I pray that you'll just anoint me to do that. God, let just work beyond the imperfect vessel, and God, just accomplish your will today. And we just trust you with that. And thank you, Lord, for changing us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, today, as promised, I'm going to bring a message. It's going to be generally geared towards those who are single, wherever you fall in that spectrum as being single. But what I want to make clear, though, is it's not going to be a message exclusively on singleness. Okay? So don't tune out because you're not single anymore if you're married. There will be some things in here for you. There'll be some good things and perhaps some awkward things, but it'll be good. Because what we're going to do is we're going to work through 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And that's the beauty of working through a chapter is that you have to deal with everything that's there. Amen? Good. I'm glad you're on board, all three of you. But we're going to do it anyway, and we'll see how it goes. So the title of today's message is Completely Single. Completely Single. And there's a common misconception, and maybe you've heard this, it's been used quite a bit, but I think it's really applicable, that if you are here and you are single, and even if you are married, this may apply to you as well, but there's this misconception that two halves make a whole. Perhaps in math that's true, but in marriage it is not. What we are looking for in marriage is two whole people will make a whole. If English is not your primary language, you may be completely confused right now. I'm talking about the whole with a W, as in whole and complete, not the whole, because halves and holes and you're digging, it gets complicated. So what we're talking, though, is two whole people, completely healthy people coming together in marriage is a wonderful thing. But unfortunately, all too often, it's typically, as probably many of us can attest to, it's typically two damaged people come together in marriage expecting to be made whole, but we fall horribly short, don't we? And we realize very quickly that there's issues and there's problems. And so I would encourage you, again, single, married, whatever, but you should always be working towards becoming whole through Christ Jesus. And that's the only place. He is the only one who can truly make us whole. But we should all be wearing shirts that says under construction, right? It is an endless process for the rest of our life, unfortunately. But when we get into eternity, it'll all be good, okay? So maybe we should do that, Steve. Get some under construction t-shirts made for CIC. We can all wear them. That would be fun. So two holes make a whole. Now, I got to give just two kind of points before we delve in here, is that you may hear some things today that you find that you did wrong. I know, it's hard to believe, but you may have done some things wrong, perhaps the way you're married. You know, perhaps me and Leanna, we have a friend, and I'm going to try to keep this. But they met in a club and in very different way, but they're both believers today, serving Jesus because they were changed. But the way they met is not really how the Bible prescribes the best way to go about meeting someone. Do we understand each other? Okay. This side, no. Okay. I'm not going any more detail, but they knew each other well. So, my point is that wherever you fall, the mistakes you've made in the past is that there is forgiveness and restoration in Christ Jesus. And so if I mention something today and you're like, oh no, I missed that step, everything's ruined now. Well, you know what? You can get on your knees, you can repent, and Jesus is faithful to forgive us. Amen? And so just be encouraged through that. So if I say some things, it's from the scripture, and just know that there is hope. You're not hopeless. None of us are hopeless. Lastly, as I've said many times, this is our standard. Okay? This is our standard. I don't care. I don't care. I care where you're from, but I don't care where you're from in the sense that you can be from Pluto. This is still the standard that we go from. So if I say something here today that goes against cultural norms where you're from, you're going to have to rewire some things. Okay? This is not something just from the United States or where I'm from. This is something from the Word of God, and so this is what we adhere to. Can we all agree on that? All right. I expect your signatures in writing after service to hold you to that. All right, so in 1 Corinthians, I'm going to primarily be in chapter 7, but as always, it's good to back up just a bit, and we'll get a running start at it. So in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 12 through 20, the Apostle Paul writes this. He says, "Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is helpful. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be brought under the control of anything. Food for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will do away with both of them. The body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. God raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Don't you know that your bodies are a part of Christ's body? So should I take part of Christ's body and make it part of a prostitute? Absolutely not. Don't you know that anyone joined to a prostitute is one body with her? For Scripture says the two will become one flesh, but anyone joined to the Lord is one spirit with him." Here it is, exclamation point. Run from sexual immorality. Every sin a person can commit is outside the body. On the contrary, the person who is sexually immoral or who is sexually immoral sins against his own body. Don't you know that your body is a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. I'll be reading from the Holman Christian Standard, so it might differ just a little bit. The ESV's on the screen. So what we hear there, and if you're in your Bibles, if you have your actual Bible and it's opened, if you scan through quickly through chapters 5, 6, and 7, one thing you will see many times is this phrase, sexual immorality. Paul has dialed in on this for a reason, because much like today, it was an issue and a problem back in this time as well when this was written. And so this is very important to pick up on these things. And in verse 12, I want to really kind of look at this. It says, "Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is helpful. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be brought under the control of anything." Listen, this is something I say, I've said to some of you, I'll say to all of you at this point, and I say this to many people because it's a good test, is that is there anything in your life right now that you cannot lay down? Is there anything in your life that you cannot walk away from? Whatever that is. Is it television, the internet, Facebook? Facebook's probably a hot topic, right? Could you put Facebook away for just 2 weeks? It would be hard, wouldn't it? You're wondering what's going on. You feel like the world's going to move light years ahead of us if we did such a thing. But my point is, and I always ask people this question, if you cannot put it down, then you do not have control over that thing. That thing has now taken control of you. All right, and this is a good, everything, whatever it is, food, whatever it is, you need to like go through an inventory in your life, and if there's something in your life that is controlling you, this is not good. It has become something equal to God. In verse 18, again, Paul begins with this phrase, as much as it can be pushed out there with the exclamation point. This one doesn't have one. In the Holman, it does. It says, "Run from sexual immorality." Okay? All sin is sin, but sexual immorality has a far greater effect than any other sin. Than any other sin. I have this image in my mind. I always go back to, if you remember in the Gospels, when Jesus goes into the temple, one of my favorite passages in all the scripture. And what does he find? He finds money changers, right? They're selling stuff. They're cheating people out of stuff. And it's now crept into the temple. And it's so, sorry, maybe I'm the only one who thinks it's cool, but it's cool. Like Jesus actually sits down and makes a whip. Imagine how that scene is going. You know, he's sitting there and he's fashioning this whip together. Like, what is this guy doing? And then he clears the temple. Like, who is this crazy man that's clearing the temple? You know, we see Jesus, in the pictures, the blonde hair and blue eyes and totally from the West, even though that's completely wrong, you know, with fair skin. Hi, how are you? I'm Jesus. You know, can we go and walk through flower patches together? But here in Scripture, we see a very different Jesus, don't we? We see this guy with a whip and he's angry, but he's never sinned. He never sinned. So this is something that was warranted, and so he clears this temple. Why? Because they had brought something, they had made something that was holy less than holy for convenience. And so what is my point here is that when we allow sin into our body, especially sexual sin, we have now defiled the temple of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit. This is why we say we are now the church. You remember this? The church is not a building. You are the church. Why is that? Because now the Holy Spirit no longer dwells in a building. He dwells in each one of us. And so when we sin in this kind of way, it allows things to come in that should not be there. And so you need to have that image of the same vigor and the same, you know, passion, if you want to call it, but anger, whatever it is that Jesus had, is the same way we should approach that kind of sin in our life. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. That was my introduction. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Verses 1 and 2. It says, now, in response to the matters you wrote. See, one thing to see is that they obviously asked about some things. They had written Paul asking some questions about some scenarios, some things they were dealing with. So now he's responding to this question that they had sent. He says, it is good for a man not to have relations with a woman. Because sexual immorality, there's that phrase again, is so common, again, very familiar with today, for today, each man should have his own wife and each woman should have her own husband. Now imagine in verse 1 here, it is good for a man not to have relations with a woman. If you took that just as a standalone verse, we would have some issues, wouldn't we? Yeah? I mean, it's good to be celibate, but the population of the earth would eventually begin to decrease, correct? So is Paul contradicting what Jesus or what God said at the beginning of time about go and populate the earth? No, he's not. But what he's saying is that for those that are gifted to do so, a celibate life or a single life is not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. Can you see that? Is that okay to say that? See all the married people, especially the guys, are like, I don't know what to say here. It's like, oh, I love my married life. Thank you, sir, pastor. But what he's saying here is that it's good. It's fine. It's okay. That a celibate life, if possible, is a good thing. Now, continue on in verses 3 and 5, it says, a husband should fulfill his marital responsibility to his wife, and likewise a wife to her husband. A wife does not have the right over her own body, but her husband does. In the same way, a husband does not have the right over his own body, but his wife does. Verse 5, do not deprive one another sexually, except when you agree for a time to devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together, otherwise Satan may tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Now, I sensed a little bit of tension grow up in the room a little bit. But we are in Scripture, and we will continue to go through it. In verse 7, marital responsibility. Listen, Paul opened this chapter talking about men having relations with women, all right? So we don't need some deep exegete of Scripture here to understand what he's talking about here. Can I get a nod from somebody? Are we on the same page? Okay, so but my issue is, and can I just be honest with you today? You should say yes to that. If your pastor ever asks you that question, You should say yes. But most of you know me, and I guess you're scared to say that. So, but I'm going to be honest, because here's the deal. Somewhere along the way, we've accepted this norm of not addressing sexual things in church. But there is a world around us that is shoving their version and what they think is right down our throats, and also that of our children. I know in my country, and I think I see most countries here, I believe, it's just getting younger and younger. The education and talking about this stuff in school, it's getting pushed down. Parents or kids are coming home. They're like, what are you talking about? You learned what today? And there's no permission asked by the parents or anything. And so if we do not address this issue from the pulpit, then we are just as bad as anyone else, okay? Because the Bible is very clear. And so I wanted to share some things with you. And you know, if you're here and you're single, again, this is stuff that you need to learn as well. But here's the deal, okay? Here's a big, huge gold nugget from Pastor Dell to you. Husband and wife, listen, you are both on the same team. You are both on offense. No defense. Defense is bad. Offense is good. Everybody's like, what are you talking about? Without a whiteboard or dry erase board, I don't know how to diagram this any better. But my point is that I don't meet with women typically. I don't meet with women unless it's my wife. I meet with guys, and we talk, and let me just explain something. Like, I sometimes don't know what to say because there are a lot of frustrated men. There are a lot of frustrated men. Women, maybe you are too. I don't have that knowledge. I don't have that. But and my point is that, again, we are both on offense. It's on the same team. And Scripture is very clear. Do not deprive each other. Okay? My wife belongs to me. I belong to my wife. Do you understand that? That is Scripture. But unfortunately, many people live very, very different. Matt and Jasper, can you hand out those? I'm going to give you something. I'm not going to go through this right now. I would encourage couples to go through it together, just to have a look through. If you're here and you're single today, what this is saying and what this passage is saying is that all this applies by showing us that they're the only arena for this to take place is marriage between a man and a woman, okay, is in marriage, is in the confines of marriage, all right? And so you can go through that sheet. This is something that I think is helpful. And it's something, again, that needs to be looked at. It's something that needs to be addressed by the church. And I would hope that you will take time, especially those that are married, and go through this and just see how you are doing in this area. But one thing that happened a long time ago when things changed and women began to enter the workplace, right? When they started, it was good and it's great. You know, women can get education now, and they start entering the workplace, like everything changed, all right? Everything changed. Whenever there's a big cultural shift or something happens in culture, it has like an effect. Not necessarily bad, but it changed things. What do I mean by that? Is that women now pursue careers and further educations. And so what's happened is the marital age has continued to move upward, correct? Yeah, do you see that? I mean, a lot of people, you look around, you know, women back in the day used to get married very young, or depending on where you're from, maybe that's still the case, but it's moved upward. Why? Because pursuing education, pursuing career. So marriage is the last thing that really is on their mind. And unfortunately, not that part is great, but what happened is this idea of virginity went out the door. With this waiting and this longer period of time, this phrase, friends with benefits, has anybody heard of that? Anybody? Yeah, okay. I mean, you're not admitting to that. I just want to make sure I don't need to explain anymore. Because I think, yeah. So friends with benefits. And so that's really the society we deal with, is that there's just people out there that are have now entered into what was supposed to be in the confines of marriage, now is just as simple, almost the same as a handshake. And something that was holy and meant before between something between a husband and wife is now that which is common. And so we see this trend, and we see like all the shift of society and this wave that the way it's headed, and we're like standing there with the tsunami basically headed towards us, but we still have to stand for what's right. And we still have to stand for the way the Bible intended it. Verses 6 and 7 say, I say the following as a concession, not as a command. I wish that all people were just like me, but each has his own gift from God, one person in this way and another in that way. Listen, Paul wasn't wishing that everybody was short like him or something, okay? That's not what he's talking about. Paul is trying to get across that celibacy isn't a command, but it's instead a concession. Meaning, here's what I have learned. Here's what I suggest to you, that if you are gifted in that area, or God has given you that, it is okay to be single. Now, let me flip that over, that it's also okay to get married. That's what he's saying. But if you are single, you don't view yourself as like you have a disease. Those of us who are married don't look at the single people like they're, well, you need to get married someday or else something's wrong with you. They may be called to be celibate. That's just the way it is. That's something you need to pray about, and I would encourage you to do so. That could be God's calling. And if you are called to that, then that's fine. And that's the point here, is not to be caught up in looking around saying, well, everybody else is married, so I need to get married. All my friends are married, so I need to get married. If it's not in you, I promise you, don't do it just because. Because it'll turn out very, very bad. Singles, if you're okay, again, with not getting married, that's okay. Parents of older singles, prayerfully consider this option, because the Bible supersedes the norms. Verses 8 and 9 say, Paul says, I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain as I am. Again, celibate. But if they do not have self-control, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with desire. What Paul is saying here is, ideally, it is better to be unmarried. And all the married people said, not a word. But there's nothing wrong with getting married. It's like, Pastor Dale, you seem like you're going like back and forth. Like, what are you saying here? I know what you're looking for. You want me to tell you what to do with your life. And I'm not going to do that, because I'm not God. Only you know what God has put in you. And all I'm trying to do is let you know that marriage doesn't have to be the answer. For a lot of people it is, but for a lot of people it's not. Okay? So I want you to hear clearly what I'm saying. But the point is, nothing wrong with getting married, but you need to make sure that you marry the right person. Now all the married people say, amen. Yeah, but Pastor Dell, you know, this guy, he's so hot. And it's like, yeah, but, you know, hell is hotter. We need to consider very seriously who we are looking at as a potential spouse. And if there's one decision that you need to get right in your life, it's that one. Okay? It's that one. Now, what I'm going to do here, because of time, it was my intention. I'm not like running behind, but we're going to have to kind of springboard a little bit. So really, I just want to touch on just a little bit. 10 through 16, if you get a chance, I mean, that's really, it's a great passage, and it talks about being married to an unbeliever, and there's people in this church that applies to, and there's people that we know or that you know that might apply to, and if that's the case, then, you know, it's very clear you stay married. Because what's happening is when Paul came out with this and guys were like, well, if you said it's better to be single, then I'm just going to be single. He's like, no. If you're married, you committed to that person before God and everybody. And if that person's willing to stay in marriage with you, then you continue on in that. All right? And then 17 through 24 in verse 20 kind of summarizes that, which I think is really good. Each person should remain in the life situation in which he was called. Remain in the condition which you got. Meaning, when you came to Christ, some people, you were both didn't believe in God. One of you comes to Christ, you need to remain in that. If that person is willing to stay, you stay that course. Is that clear? You stay the course. God is big enough. He will work. He will work through you if possible. And so you need to rest in that. So in verse 25 is where I want to pick back up. 1 Corinthians 7, 25 and through 31. It says, about virgins, it says, I have no command from the Lord, but I do give an opinion as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. Therefore, I consider this to be good because of the present distress. It is fine for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be loosed. Are you loosed from a wife? Do not seek a wife. However, if you do not get married, you have not sinned, and if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But such people will have trouble in this life, and I am trying to spare you. And I say this, brothers, the time is limited, so from now on, those who have wives should be as though they had none, those who weep as though they did not weep, those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice, those who buy as though they did not possess, and those who use the world as though they did not make full use of it. For this world in its current form is passing away. Now, there's a lot there. But in verse 27, it goes back to what I had said earlier, that married men, he's saying, shouldn't seek to exit the marriage because the Bible says it's better not to marry. Okay, we've established that. But verse 28 is very interesting to me. And it says, however, if you do get married, you have not sinned, and if a virgin marries, she has not sinned, this part. But such people will have trouble in this life, and I'm trying to spare you. Okay? So, I mean, he's saying that people that choose to get married will have trouble in this life. Just keep looking at me. Just keep looking at me. Okay? You will have trouble in this life. Now, it may have been other things there, but I think what Paul was getting at, and I don't know if this message is encouraging to single people or not to get married the way that I'm headed, but I hope that it is. But what he's getting at is that there's responsibilities of marriage and raising children. If you didn't know that, I'm letting you know now. All right? There are responsibilities, and I think everybody here that's married would say, yes, that's true. Paul is trying to get across here that when you enter into marriage, suddenly, again, what affects the other person affects you. You are no longer flying solo, if you will. You can no longer do whatever you want to do. You can't just show up and leave, and, you know, you actually have to, like, communicate. I shook my head. I'm sorry, honey. You get to communicate, and you have to, like, just, I mean, let the other person know what's going on. If they have plans that day and, you know, you didn't plan on that, you've got to work that out together. So it's definitely taking on more responsibility. And then you put kids into the mix. I know there's some kids in here, and we love each and every one of you. Your parents love you tremendously. Okay? Just know that. But you guys can be some work. All right? All of the gray hairs you see in your parents, those who aren't coloring it or those who have some left, or, you know, mine's coming out in the backside of my beard. They all make the letter J for Joshua because I don't know. The first two were real easy. Isaac and Noah, I think I got one each, and I just plucked them. But Joshua is something else. But they are. It's a lot of work. And, you know, but I mean, you got football games and rugby games and whatever other hobbies you do, and you have to feed them. We have to feed you. It's like legally we have to. All these things, right? You think about college, you got to try to keep them alive till they leave the house. I recommend pets first. Try that. But you have all these responsibilities, and you've got to keep your wife or husband happy. Right? Now, where does God fit into all that? Right? I mean, we can laugh. It's true, but it takes a lot. It's a lot of work. Some may say it's a lot of trouble, but it's a lot of work nonetheless. And this is what Paul's trying to say, is just be aware that when you go into marriage, yes, there's a lot of great things that come from it. Kids are wonderful, spouse is wonderful, but it's going to take a lot, and it's going to take some away from what you're able to give to God. Because the reality is, right now, if you're single and God calls you to, you know, Cambodia or whatever, Antarctica, you can just go, right? You don't got to talk to anybody. You can just get on a plane and go. If you're married, it's a whole different story. If you have kids, whole different story, right? So these are things that Paul is trying to get it through. And 29 through 31 there, and I say this, brothers, the time is limited. So from now on, those who have wives should be as though they had none, those who weep, et cetera, et cetera. He's not talking about, again, if you're married, you just act like you're not. Okay, what he's saying is that we should be living our lives as if we had none, meaning time is limited, the world is passing away, and we need to have the Great Commission on our mind. As much as we possibly can, we have to be engaging and doing things, because I see it a lot, not a lot maybe, but at times, you know, even in our family, where you can get dialed in on just maintaining like your own world, right? That you can never, you're not thinking outside, and you miss that person at work or that person, you know, I think Steve mentioned when he was checking out at the cash register, you know, maybe he's got other things on his mind and doesn't have time to engage with that person. Or in our case, when we're checking out and the kids are trying to, you know, buy every candy item that's there on the rack, and you're like, just go. I don't kick them, but just go. How can you engage with somebody when your kid's acting a fool, right? And so what Paul's saying, though, is we have to be kingdom-minded. We have to be still following and answering the call that God has put on us. Priority and focus should be on the work of the Lord. To the singles here, know what you are desiring by being married. And Paul summarizes this in the next verses. Verses 32 to 35 of chapter 7, he says, I want you to be without concerns. An unmarried man is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife, and his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord so that she may be holy both in body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Now, I am saying this for your own benefit, not to put a restraint on you, but because of what is proper, and so that you may be devoted to the Lord without distraction. Husbands and wives, again, I'm going to say it over and over. Are you pleasing your spouse? Your spouse should be a priority. Should the Lord's work? Yes, it should. But he's saying, if you are married and your attention is not divided and you're just doing the Lord's work, that's not right either. Okay? Okay, I'm just going to say this. I don't care if you are here on Friday morning and you go to every single life group, and anytime there's something, you know, you work at handing out food to the poor with the church, and you do all of this stuff for ministry. And if I go to your home, though, and your spouse is miserable and not being attended to, and your kids don't even know who their parent is because you're gone all the time for the Lord's work, I don't see where that marries up with Scripture the right way. You do have a responsibility to your family. you do have a responsibility to the work of the Lord, but it does need to be balanced. Okay? Singleness is not a restriction. It is a freedom to serve the Lord without distraction. Now, I just want to share, as we wrap up our time here, just some closing thoughts. We've worked our way through this passage of Scripture, but I also want to be somewhat practical. And if you're here today and you're single, right, I think you need to, and this is for girls, I know you're a little young, but even now you can start thinking this way, but this is a time of preparation in your life. I like Ferraris. I know, yeah, exactly. You can laugh. My occupation doesn't really coincide with Ferraris, but don't worry, it doesn't have control over me. So, but I think Ferraris are pretty cool cars. Let's just say, for example, there was this certain Ferrari that I liked, certain year, certain model, you know, color and everything else, and it was rare. And so I start going online, I'm spending hours looking for this one specific Ferrari. I travel, I fly places, check them out, like, oh, that's close, you know, but no, it's not quite what I want. Fly back, and I'm just on this search in life for this one Ferrari. It's got to be red, right? Red Ferrari. Finally, after all these years of searching, I find my one exact red Ferrari. Beautiful interior. The rims are exactly what I wanted. The exact model. Just everything is beautiful. Perfect. Perfect. And then the guy tells me the price of the Ferrari. And if you know anything about Ferraris, they're not cheap. Like, well, I don't have enough money to buy the Ferrari. And he politely looks back and says, well, you're not going to go home today with a Ferrari. And what is my point? My point is that you can spend so much time searching. You can spend so much time looking in life for the perfect person. But when you find that person, if you are not in a position and if you've not prepared yourself, it's not going to work out. Because that person's going to look at you and say, you're not getting this Ferrari. What do I mean by that? I'm not talking about just physical. I'm talking about spiritual, your walk with God, all these things. What is God calling you to do? And the cool thing about God is when he's called you to do something or put something in front of you, it's typically multifaceted, meaning he's working things out in you. You may be meeting a need in the church, but he's bringing you to a place or working something out in you that's going to match you up very well to that spouse one day if that's your desire. So my point is, don't waste your time now looking so far into the future that you're missing the time of preparation to be in a position that when it is time and you find someone, that you have something to bring to the table. That's something I learned. That's something God, when I was single, convicted me of. He's like, what are you doing? How are you preparing yourself for this amazing? I mean, because I had a list of what I was looking for in a woman. It's all right there. But there was preparation that I had to do, that God had to do in me to prepare me to be able to lure all of that. True story. So don't waste your time now. This is a time of preparation. Number two, Jesus was single. It's cool. If you're single, be single. But keep growing in the Lord. The other thing, if sexual temptation is, I wrote this out really late, so hopefully that comes out across properly. If sexual temptation is an everyday battle for you, you may not be gifted to be celibate, okay? If you are a triangle, don't try to be a circle or square, all right? If God has put a desire to be married in you and put this in you, then it's okay. Don't try to be something that you are not, all right? Another thing, if you are consistently lonely, even with healthy Christian fellowship, marriage may be for you. What ministry has God called you to? Okay, this is that whole preparation part. Don't just sit idly by and you're so busy looking for a spouse that you're missing out on ministry. And if God has called you to some remote part of the world, marriage may not be the best option for you unless you find somebody else that is called to that place. Okay? Another thing is focus on drawing closer to God and don't settle. Do not settle for anything less than somebody that's good. Somebody, again, it talks about in the Bible, it talks about being unequally yoked. Again, you can go ahead and get married, but it will cause some problems. All right? That's one of the big things when marriage counseling, if there's differences there, it can cause a lot of strain. Make a plan for staying pure. All right? And like I said before, it doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been in your past. God is big enough and forgives and restores. All right? So start from today and live pure and live holy. Marriage doesn't solve all of your problems. God does. And I think this is one of the biggest misconceptions. It's like, once I get married, everything's going to work out. What you find is you just trade in one set of problems and you get a whole, depending on who you marry. Leanna got a whole set of problems. All right? Marriage is not the answer. Your spouse, I'm talking to married people and singles, your spouse should not, as I said when I started, complete you. It sounds really cool in the movies, doesn't it? You complete me? It doesn't happen in reality, all right? It doesn't happen in reality. And it's unfair when you put that kind of a stress and a kind of a strain on your spouse to have to live up to some level of perfection that it's impossible for them to do. Or they're supposed to meet every single need. Oh, when I get married, they're going to be everything to me, and then they're not. Why? Because we are all fallible. We all make mistakes. We all fall short of the glory of God, don't we? So it's unfair, and it will never, ever work. And the last thing I just want to say is that I think this is probably in most churches. I didn't do a ton of research on it, but from what I've seen in my experience, if you look around this room today or in this church, and again, I think in most churches, I want to ask you a question. Where are the single men? Where are the young guys in their 20s? Where are they right now? Sleeping? Huh? Yeah, on Golf Road? You know, we would be back home washing our car, getting it ready to go out. And I say that because you want to look at what's wrong in the world today, especially as a church, and not just this church, but the church as a whole, is we are not reaching the young men. Why? Why? You know, I mean, we could give money, I guess, here. I mean, how do you know, you don't want to lure people in, but at the same time, where are the young men? Where are the single men? And I'm saying this on behalf of all the young single ladies in this church that have talked to me, and this is the question. Where are they at? And I would just encourage you in your jobs, in your workplaces, wherever you're at, identify who these young guys are, and we need to reach out to them. And it's hard work. It's hard ground, especially in this place, because a lot of them, they're here. They're making good money. They have no responsibility, and they just do their thing, right? And so I would just ask you today, just pray about that. Pray for God to show you how you can minister to the young guys. because these are the guys that are supposed to grow up, mature, get married, lead families, have kids. But you look at what's wrong with the world, right? And it's what you see is a pattern of young men who did not grow up in the church and who do not know Jesus. And they're trying to lead a family, trying to be a husband that's, you know, can lead a spouse, can lead a family. And I've said it before, I love the, I don't like what it means, but it's like you have, you know, basically boys that can shave. Right? Don't know what responsibility is. Don't know who God is. And so I would encourage you, and as we pray also just for this church in general, how do we reach the young men? But also that can apply to the young women as well. I mean, there's a lot of single people here in this country that are not in church this morning. There's a lot of people in general, but that's what we're talking about today. So let's close now in a time of prayer. If you would bow your heads. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, and I just thank you for this opportunity just to share your word, Lord, just to share that it's okay to be single, that it's okay in this time, but God, also for those here that are married, that we hear what marriage should look like, the intimacy that should be in place there, and what that means. And God, I just ask that we would walk away from this place today and we would take to heart, Lord, what's been shared, that, Lord, you would just help us to not leave this message on the shelf, to not leave this message echoing in this room as we walk out and re-engage with our life and everything that we have to do and the demands. But God, that we would really take to heart the things that have been shared, and Lord, learn what we can do wherever, whatever place we're at in our life right now, whatever age, whatever status, single or married, with children, without children, whatever it is, God, there has been enough shared today, God, that we can see that there's work. Let us not waste the time that's been given to us, Lord, pursuing things that are going to pass away, pursuing things that have no eternal weight whatsoever. But God, I pray that you give us the clarity to see what is eternal and what isn't, what matters and what doesn't. God, what is important to you, even if it may not be important to us. God, that you would change our hearts in such a way that we walk step by step in sync with what it is you're calling us to do and what your will is. God, I thank you that you've spoken to us today through your word. In Jesus' name,